All right, let's dive into a Supreme Court case today. It's South Dakota v. Reeves, Inc. It brings up these big questions about states' rights, interstate commerce, and good old-fashioned cement.
What's interesting is that it's not just some, historical footnote. It deals with issues that are still debated today. How much power should states have in the market? Can they favor their own residents, even if it affects businesses in other states?
Okay, so picture this.
Yeah.
It's 1978, and South Dakota's in a bind.
Right.
Their state-owned cement plant, which they built way back in 1919, is having production issues. And as luck would have it, a construction boom hits.
Oh, wow.
So suddenly, there's not enough cement to go around.
You've got to be kidding me.
Now, this plant wasn't always meant to sell outside of South Dakota, right?
No, initially it was meant to address shortages within the state, making sure that public projects had the resources they needed.
Makes sense.
But then over time, the plant expanded. They started selling cement to neighboring states, becoming a key player in the regional market.
And for about 20 years, everything was fine.
Yeah.
Businesses in surrounding states, like this company Reeves, Inc., a concrete company in Wyoming, relied on South Dakota cement. Imagine you're Reeves, you've built your business on this steady supply, and then all of a sudden you're cut off.
Ouch.
Yeah. This abrupt change really highlights how delicate interstate commerce is.
Yeah.
South Dakota, facing this shortage, decided to put their own residents first, leaving out-of-state buyers like Reeves hanging. And that's where the legal battle
Makes
starts.
sense.
Now, the Supreme Court had a tough question to answer. Was South Dakota acting as a market regulator, subject to the rules of the Commerce Clause, which is meant to prevent states from messing with interstate trade? Or were they a market participant, like any other business, free to choose their customers?
Well, this is a crucial distinction. The Commerce Clause, which goes all the way back to our nation's founding, sought to create a unified national economy. It was designed to prevent states from creating economic barriers and promote, the free flow of goods and services. So the court really had to figure out if South Dakota's actions were under their authority as a state or their ability to operate within the market.
Yeah, you got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Now, Reeves argued that South Dakota had been happily participating in the interstate cement market for years and couldn't just pull back when things got tough. They said South Dakota had exploited the interstate market and was now changing the rules of the game.
That's a pretty serious accusation.
It is.
This argument gets at the potential for disruption when a state significantly changes how it approaches interstate trade, especially after a long period of involvement. It raises questions about how much businesses can rely on these interstate relationships.
So it's a matter of trust, in a way.
You could say that,
Yeah,
yes.
okay. So South Dakota countered, saying they were just fulfilling their responsibility to their citizens, just like they do with schools and other essential services. They said that during a shortage, putting their residents' needs first was their main duty.
Yeah, that goes to the heart of the states' rights debate, doesn't it? To what extent can states prioritize their own interests, especially when those interests affect businesses and individuals in other states?
Absolutely. And this case really got the justices thinking. Some sided with Reeves, while others felt South Dakota had the right to put their people first. It was a close call.
It really was. And one of the dissenting opinions written by Justice Powell is particularly striking. He saw this as a clear example of economic protectionism. He warned that this ruling could set a dangerous precedent. He said if states could hoard resources like this, it could lead to a breakdown in interstate trade. Imagine states hoarding essential resources, disrupting the national flow of goods and services.
There would be chaos, every state for itself, right?
Yeah, potentially leading to shortages and economic instability across the nation. Justice Powell worried that this decision might weaken the Commerce Clause's ability to prevent states from disrupting the national economy.
Yeah, that would be a big deal. So what happened to Reeves? Did they just have to accept defeat and watch their business crumble while their Wyoming competitors thrived with access to that South Dakota cement?
Well, the impact on Reeves was big. They had to cut production by a whopping 76%, while their competitors in Wyoming, who had access to that South Dakota cement, had a huge advantage. But the story doesn't end there.
Really, this is where it gets interesting. So what happened? What did the Supreme Court decide?
In a really close 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of South Dakota. They said that the state, acting as a market participant, had the right to prioritize its residents, even if it meant cutting off businesses in other states.
5-4, wow, that's cutting it close. So legally, South Dakota's actions were okay. But I bet this decision didn't exactly end the debate.
No, it really didn't. This decision was controversial. Critics said it gave states too much power, potentially undermining the idea of a unified national economy.
I see.
There were worries that it could create a race to the bottom, with states competing against each other in a way that could hurt workers and the environment just to attract businesses.
So like a balancing act between a state's right to manage its own stuff and the need for a national economy that works smoothly and fairly.
Exactly. This case brought that tension into the spotlight.
Okay.
It made people question if states could use their market participant status as a way to get around discriminatory practices.
But back to Reeves. They had to cut back production, the competitors got an advantage, and the Supreme Court sided with South Dakota. What happened next? Did they just have to accept it?
Well, here's the thing. Remember, this all happened because of a specific situation. Problems at the plant plus a sudden increase in demand.
Right. That perfect storm that led to not enough cement.
Yeah. So as the economy got better, the shortage eased up, and South Dakota eventually stopped its resident preference policy.
Wait, so they just dropped the policy that started this whole legal fight? Seems kind of anticlimactic.
It does, right. But it shows that legal precedents are important, but real-world stuff can change and make those precedents less important over time.
So all those legal arguments and passionate opinions, and in the end, the policy just goes away as things change. Makes you wonder if Reeves would have been better off just waiting.
That's a good point. It makes you think about whether going to court is the best solution when the problem itself might be temporary.
But even though the policy is gone, the case itself is still important. It forces us to think about the balance of power between states and the federal government, the role of the Commerce Clause, and how to keep our national economy stable and fair.
Absolutely. And this case also shows how legal interpretations can change. What was considered okay in 1978 might be seen differently now, especially with new challenges like climate change and new technologies popping up.
So what can we as listeners take away from this deep dive into South Dakota v. Reeves? What does it mean for us today?
Well, it reminds us that the law isn't fixed. It's a process that's always being interpreted and reinterpreted as new situations come up.
Like a living document, adapting to changing times. And cases like this give us valuable insights into how those adaptations happen.
Exactly. South Dakota v. Reeves makes us think critically about what role the government plays in the market. It highlights the tension between states' rights and the need for national unity when it comes to the economy.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? What would happen if something similar happened today? Let's say a state with a vital resource, maybe lithium for those electric car batteries, decided to put its own people first. Would the result be the same?
That's a fascinating question, and it's one that legal experts and policymakers are still trying to figure out. South Dakota v. Reeves set a precedent, but things are always changing in the legal world.
So we can learn from the past, but we can't always predict the future.
Exactly. And that's what makes these deep dives so interesting. We're not just looking at historical events, but also the bigger questions they bring up, questions that are still shaping our world today.
Yeah, it feels like we're at a crossroads with this case pointing us in so many directions.
Yeah.
It makes you think about the choices states might make in the future and how they'll affect us all.
For sure. And that's why it's important for us to understand these legal precedents and talk about what they mean.
This deep dive wasn't just about one case about cement, right? Mm. It was about these fundamental questions about federalism and the Commerce Clause and how we can ensure a balanced and fair national economy.
Exactly. South Dakota v. Reeves helps us look at these complicated issues that are more important now than ever.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into South Dakota v. Reeves, Inc., we want to leave you with a thought.
Okay.
Imagine a future where the lines between state and federal power get even blurrier.
Ooh, that's interesting.
What would that world be like? What new opportunities and challenges would come up?
And how would we, as informed citizens, figure out how to deal with this new landscape?
We encourage you to explore these questions, dig deeper into Supreme Court cases, and keep having these important conversations about the things that shape our world. Until next time, keep diving deep.